Welcome back to the Sports Zone, everyone. Keith Kelly here with you. We're going to talk with Brandon Tierney. He is the co-host of Tiki and Tierney. You can catch it right here after the morning show. Also co-host of that other pregame show on CBS Sports Network. Brandon Tierney joining us here on the program. Brandon, what's happened today, man? How you doing?
I'm doing well, Keith. And unlike, you know, I don't know how many of these interviews you do with guys from the affiliates over at CBS, but I can actually say I have driven through Wyoming. I dated somebody that lived in South Dakota. I lived in Vegas as one of my early radio stops, so very familiar with that part of the country. Beautiful state, man. Cool to be on with you.
What part of Wyoming did you make it through?
I drove, let me see, this was now, I left Vegas in 01, so I'm trying to trace back over the path in my mind. Hold on a second. Was that the southeast part of the state? Hold on, I came up from Vegas. Would that be...
Did you go through I-80 across the state, the southern part, you know, like Evanston, Rawlins, Cheyenne, those parts right there?
Oh, God. Yeah, you know what I remember? I'm going to be totally honest. I used to chew tobacco, all right? and I quit, thank God, right?
Right.
Although I wish I could have one on the golf course, but I know that if I have one, then I want to have, you know, I'll have one every day, and I'll be right back to being a regular dipper, so I know I can. I don't know why this jumps out. I don't know the exact part of the state, but I do remember this very vividly. It was dark, and I was leaving Vegas, and I was going to see my ex-girlfriend, and as I'm driving through Wyoming, and again, I'm from Brooklyn, New York, so, you know, driving through a part of the country I never really thought that I'd have a chance to get to, and lucky enough to get to, and just a general appreciation for geography and all that stuff, and I remember as I'm driving, the sun was setting, and Billy Joel is my favorite artist, and just as I saw that, you know, you're entering Wyoming, the state sign, Billy comes on, right? The sun was, so it wasn't fully dark yet. I said, oh, I mean, this is picturesque. I got to grab my tin of skull. I packed a fat dip, and I cruised through Wyoming for a good hour and a half, whatever it was, and it was awesome. It was
nice.
Really beautiful, man.
Well, you're welcome back. You know what? Maybe the official invite to Cheyenne Frontier Days in late July, man, and you can take the rodeo on and night shows and all that good stuff.
Well, let me ask you this, because my wife is from Texas, so I've been to the rodeo. I play a lot of golf. I'm terrible, but like, you know, like most people, but I play a lot. I love to fish, and Tiki always says, because most of my fishing is in salt water, you know, bigger game,
right.
Just, you know, in the ocean. He always says you gotta try fly fishing, and I've heard Wyoming's pretty good for that. Am I right?
I've never been. I'm an Okie, so I've been here for about 12, 13 years.
Uh-huh.
But I have fished in some of the ponds here. Never been fly fishing, but it's the best. The Snake River out west, any, you know, around Laramie, there's good fly fishing. Any of those rivers. Oh yeah, the
nice.
Best. The
All
best.
Right, man. Might have to make a little boys trip out west pretty soon.
All right, Brandon.
Yeah.
I was listening to some talk radio this morning, and it got me thinking. There is an article in one of the New York tabloids, I guess, that came out with the scientist that Will Smith portrays in the movie Concussion.
Uh-huh.
And this article is telling, you know, parents or whoever that kids should not play football.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you stand on this? Because this movie is going to come out and it's going to shake up some things, I have a feeling.
Yeah, it is.
And ruffle some feathers one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, could this be a potential... I don't want to say death knell because I don't know if that's ever going to happen. This is going to be a potential problem for the NFL to face, though, right?
There's no doubt. And I'll tell you, I'm at a very interesting point as a parent. You know, as a first-time parent, my son just turned 11 months old yesterday. And, you know, I was a decent athlete, certainly not like Tiki, but I played college baseball, you know, small D1.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to think that he'll be somewhat athletically inclined. And I get that as, and my wife played quite a bit of soccer, too, so that helps. I get this asked a lot. And first, I want to see how aggressive he is. I mean, I'd have to gauge that. I'll tell you this, man. I said this. I was working in San Francisco a couple of years ago. I was doing afternoon drive for a startup FM out there. I don't know how it came up, but my partner was Eric Davis, the former Niner, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about, you know, head trauma, and it was very much during the... Oh, you know what it was? There was a mouthpiece, because obviously San Francisco's not far from Stanford, Palo Alto, and we read an article in the Chronicle about... a scientist at Stanford who had just developed a prototype mouth guard that actually develops or gauges the depth of the trauma to the brain. Okay, so that, and this was, I want to say, in 2011. So this was the first extensive dialogue where, not to sound callous, but we even cared about whether or not these guys, you know, what kind of conditions they had after football, because it never really hit up on our radar. And I said that day, and people thought I was out of my mind, but I got to tell you, Keith, I believe this, I believe eventually football is going to be gone. Gone. And everyone's like, what are you, nuts? But here's my theory behind it. Because there's now brilliant people attacking this with vigor, we're going to find out things that we don't necessarily want to find out. But once you find them out, you can't ignore them. That's the first part, okay? And I think that at the grassroots level, I don't mean the SEC or the NFL yet. I'm talking about, I went to an all-boys private school, okay, high school. All boys, good at more focus on academics than athletics. And a school like that, no one's going to the NFL, no one's going to the NBA. So I think when you start looking at schools like that, I think the decision's going to come kind of quick. They're going to say, well, monetarily and probably ethically as well, having a football program just for the sake of having a program for, you know, school camaraderie, it's not worth it, because the negative kickback and the injuries are overshadowing whatever school spirit that it actually generates. So I think that's the first step. Then you're going to start getting into smaller colleges. Now, I went to Marist College, okay? Mm-hmm. It's a small Division I school. The only two people that you probably ever heard of that went there, Bill O'Reilly mm-hmm. from Fox News and Rick Smith, who played in the NBA for the Pacers. Everybody else toils in relative anonymity, certainly athletes, right? So a school like Marist, which is 1AA, which is the fancy way of saying we're really Division III, why in the world would they have a program in, say, I don't know, 7, 10, 12, 15 years when they're losing money because nobody's going to the games, the insurance costs, and now the added element of trauma that becomes lawsuits. I just think there's going to be a gradual erosion of participation, and eventually it's either going to lead to a radical shift in rules changes, or the sport's going to go away. Mm-hmm. And again, when I said this 4 years ago, as I was saying it, I thought I was a little nuts. Forget about what everybody else was saying. But now in hindsight, I got to tell you, Keith, I think I may have been onto something.
Do we care? Listen, I am sympathetic to the head injury. I really am. But I am also of the opinion that if you're going to play in the NFL, and I get what you're saying at the smaller level.
Yep.
But as far as we're talking NFL, the highest the level that this game is played, do fans care overall, because these guys signed up, they know the risks now, and I have to believe that maybe while they didn't know the full risk of head injuries, mm-hmm. they know it's a high impact sport, so there's
sure.
got to be some damage done, right? Don't you have to
yes.
know that going in?
Well,
so
yeah.
do we care?
Well, it's a great question that only I think people can answer individually. I'll,
right.
I'll give you an answer, but I would also add this though, Keith. I think that There's got to be an inherent awareness on the part of the people playing up. But I'll say, you know, so a guy like Le'Veon Bell, mm-hmm. who's a young running back. All right, Tiki just turned 40. When Tiki went into college and committed to Virginia, the last thing he thought about was concussion. Maybe on you know, somewhere in the deepest recess of his mind, or maybe more specifically his mom's mind, maybe the fear of, God forbid, paralysis, because that's usually what you associate big hits. God forbid your son doesn't get up.
Right.
But it rarely was attributed to the mind. It was more the spine. Do people care? No, people don't care. What people now they feign interest, mm-hmm. And I know that that's a very broad stroke, but I honestly believe, and I'm not trying to sound callous, but here's what people care about when they flip on a game. Number one, they want to know how their fan. Number one, they want their team to win. Number two, they want to make money when they bet. And number three, they want to make money with their fantasy team. Mm-hmm. Everything else is secondary, man. And anybody, I would love to believe, Keith, that we're in a place as society that people are so aware and so compassionate for what happens to an athlete once he leaves the field of play. But that's naive. I know better. I've been around life too long to know that that's never going to be the case. So it's amazing. It's like this PC world that we live in. I think that that also kind of trickles down to the way some people, not all, but some people react to the concussion element now, where they talk about it because they feel, and I don't mean doctors or people who are, you know, medically involved in this or players, but at the end of the day, you flip off your TV, you know, as a Jets fan, the Jets either won or lost, and I get back to my life with my wife and my 11-month-old son and my job. So, you know, I just don't think people care as much as it seems like they do. I really don't.
I love this topic, and we could go on for a long time. I got a couple minutes left here with you. I wanted to ask you, we're in Broncos country, obviously. Brock
yep.
Osweiler, yay or nay with Brock Osweiler right now? I mean, the wins are there. I mean, he's not turning the ball over. Yay or nay with Osweiler the rest of the season, even if Peyton Manning comes back and he's 100%?
Yeah, Peyton's just going to have to sit back and relax. It is what it is. No offense to a legend, and he is one of the greats, but that's too bad. You know, Peyton's going to have to deal with this. You don't even have the conversation. You don't even broach the topic amongst the coaches and the staff now until he loses a game and it's an ugly performance. And if that doesn't happen, Keith, there's no conversation to have because, and you know this, it's the team that you see him, you cover him. The change, the way they augmented the offense, this is what Kubiak had in mind. Under center, misdirection, stretch handoffs. Peyton can't do that. And Brock Osweiler at, you know, 6'8", and pretty nimble feet for a big man, great dexterity. You could just do things with him that you can't do with Peyton. And you don't need to score 30 points with this offense. With this defense to win a championship or at least be in contention for a championship as they are. You need an offense that's not going to implode and not going to cough it up two or three times a week. And, you know, sadly, we got to a point where Peyton was unreliable. You didn't know where the ball was going. At least with Brock, you have a better feel. I think you dive deeper into the playbook, and I think they're better with Brock. And until it changes noticeably, you don't even contemplate going back to number 18. You just don't do it.
This was awesome. Brandon Tierney, the co-host of Tiki and Tierney, following the morning show every weekday right here on KFBC. Also the co-host of that other pregame show on CBS Sports Network. Brandon, this was great. I appreciate it. Look forward to doing it again sometime. Thank you so much.
Keith, keep my number, man, anytime. I thoroughly enjoy the great questions, by the way, and a great, great conversation that I agree could have gone on a lot longer. Happy holidays to everybody out in Wyoming. I'll talk to you soon, man.
Thanks, Brandon. Bye-bye.
You got it, pal.